Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Let's break it down. There has been a lot more that has taken place in the trial of Karen Reed since we last talked with Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. So I just kind of want to start where things are at right now. Uri was on the stand, Bukenik, and he's been on there for a while, several days as of us recording this. And one of the last things that he did at the end of week three, I think it was reading off those text messages between Karen Reed and fill me in. I always forget his name.
Brian
Higgins. Yeah, between Brian Higgins. The very fifth grade level romance that seemed to be blossoming there. I like you. You're hot. You too. Why did the defense think it was a good idea to read those aloud in court? I mean, Karen Reed is their client. I'm not quite grasping where this was a good idea. What are your thoughts?
Well, what they were thinking is they needed to try to paint the groundwork for that there's evidence that he could be a third-party culprit and had some sort of motive to kill John. The problem is, I think it really blew up. This doesn't look like some, you're my woman and no one will have you, no. Someone in a jealous rage. This is somebody who's being pursued by their defendant.
Yeah.
It's all really slimy and cringy. And quite frankly, the last text is her texting him, not him texting her.
Mm-hmm. They knew what these texts were. We saw them in the previous trial. What world are they living on where this looks like a third-party culprit that's jealous and rageful and out there to protect this woman in his life that's not even the woman in his life, really, other than when they're drinking at a bar? Is this a case of blinders on and they just have heard so much hype from their own people of like, look how horrible this is. And then when you take 10,000 feet overview of it, you're like, oh, well, only in this corner does it look this bad. Everybody else is out here going, are these children? Is this from like a children's text back and forth in fifth grade? Because I didn't even think anyone would get in trouble for most of this. It's very, very tame.
Yeah, I think there's a combination here, Tony. I've thought about this a lot when they're in their strategy room, you know, sticking with the dog as an example. Yeah. I think I just would have taken that off the table. I don't know. They didn't take the 17-year-old off the table. It was taken off the table for them. And remember what Judge Cannone said with the third-party culprit? She said, basically, there is barely a sliver, barely enough for me to even consider them staying on the table. Mm-hmm. So they've got to put something on the table for at least some consideration. And there's nothing there before this. And now they're at least trying to point out that they were working on a hookup. That's about all I gleaned from that. And it just shows not only is she possibly a murderer, she's definitely a cheater.
Yeah. And it wasn't even him trying to make the hookup happen. It was her. Flat out saying, you know, we're both single. Like, I'm sorry, Karen, you're not. You're in a committed relationship. At least that's what everyone else in the world seemed to understand other than you, the woman in the relationship. And this went on for weeks while supposedly, you know, things are okay with John. I know they've been arguing and it was probably getting to the end, but she wasn't single. That's clear. And seemed to have no shame about any of it. As well. And they've now introduced some talk of Aruba, which I found her verbiage on it rather interesting. she's already, and it's another Karen Reed speaking out of her mouth in two different ways. We've already seen in one interview her talking about Aruba, and it was a misunderstanding. I saw this woman talking to John, and yeah, I thought something was happening, but then it turned out it wasn't, and I felt bad, and I apologized. So she's already come to the realization that it wasn't this horrible, he's cheating with this woman at the bar. She knew that it wasn't that. But she's using it to her advantage in those texts to be a victim. She's telling him, oh, John hooked up with somebody, like just giving a half-truth completely about the whole thing, only so it benefits her and makes him maybe feel bad for her or how bad John is. It's complete manipulation, not to say that that makes her a murderer, but it certainly shows a lot of the depths she'll go to manipulate people to get what she wants.
Well, and it wasn't even a half-truth.
No.
It was strictly, see, look at me. John's been bad, so it's okay if I'm bad with you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what her point was from that. And, you know, I really hope they introduce the Aruba testimony.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're not going to. That's what I've heard.
There was a motion today, I believe, that came out this morning about it. Yeah.
Did it come in? Oh, thank goodness, because I hadn't seen anything on it. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're not going to introduce it. Oh, that's great news, Tony, because it's so critical.
Yeah.
You know, I just reviewed the testimony from last trial. I mean, the lady's in tears. It wasn't her just saying, I mean, she's screaming at her, F you.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
Yeah.
You know, when you think somebody you're dating is talking to another girl, it's so volatile and so anger driven and so out of social norms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she operates.
Yeah.
And I really think it's important they get it in to show she's psychotic when it came to her jealousy involving John.
It's all about her own image. And at the end of the day, once you can understand that and you can, and I can't say, I don't know if she's a narcissist, but she certainly presents with a lot of narcissistic traits. And it's all about image. It's all about how am I going to look in this moment? And it's about perceived image as well. Perceived threats, perceived disrespect. That's a big thing with folks like this. You being disrespectful to me? It's a perceived thing. Even though John wasn't doing that, she perceived it that way, and because she felt that way, then she felt justified, it seems, in trying to go out and do this thing with one of John's cop friends. It's weird, but that's how they operate. It doesn't have to be real. They just have to perceive it, and then they're going to operate as if it was real. And even in her own words, in one of the interviews, she basically bounces from, and then there was the Aruba trip, and then all the stuff started happening with, damn it, I keep forgetting his name.
Higgins.
I don't know why I always forget the name Higgins. Higgins, I got to think of it. Magnum PI. Higgins. That this was happening. So she connects the dots in her own interview of it's a cause and a reaction. Cause and effect here of she perceived he did this at Aruba, so she reacted this way in her own words. And that's, what else are you doing that to, Karen? What other areas of your life do you perceive this, and so you're going to act this way? The Aruba stuff would be very interesting. I do think they opened the door to it. As of our recording, the judge has not decided of what's going to happen, but the fact that these texts are out there, that's how the door got opened last time, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, you just can. I think the door's already been opened on the harassment issue, too, and they're just not stepping through it. Brennan was very clear that he was not going to try to go in that direction. And I know it's because he's trying to make it cleaner this time.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the facts that show she hit John.
Yeah.
That's, to me, his narrative. And he doesn't like necessarily going in these different directions,
mm-hmm.
but he needs to on this one, I think, to show the length of her not acting correctly. What did you think about the flip-off of Buchanan? Clear bird she gave. I think it's funny they're trying to show the picture of Canone studying her pen
mm-hmm.
in both. I think Canone, and then I think they have Brennan too. where that's how they hold their pen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're steadying it so their middle finger is out a little bit.
Sure.
Compared to the clear bird we see with the two right fingers, you know, the fingers down and the bird extended. I mean, anybody who watched it, not just looked at the picture, she flipped him the bird. She's no impulse control.
Yes. And about the maturity level of those text messages. I mean, it's like something a fifth grader would do when they're being called out on something that they don't want to hear, that their own writing, what they actually said is being called out. We have it here. Here's the proof. You can't get away from it. Oh, I don't like that. I'm going to give you the finger. You deserve it. Like, what are you doing? Like, what do you think that's really hurting? You know, who's ever reading this on the stand? It wasn't even Higgins on the stand reading it this time. Why? Yeah. I mean, you're flipping off Yuri. Okay, good. Good job. Does that make you feel good, Karen? Because it's not a good look for you, but she doesn't seem to get her perception or what other people are thinking of her, other than the ego bath, in her own words, that she likes to walk by every day. It's a shame it's only like five people these days, so it's kind of an empty bath, like the water's gone and you're sitting there in the cold. But I guess it's something, Karen, right?
You know, Tony, when you look back at all the different, and I have so many clips of them, the facial expressions, the anger she's shown, her eyes almost coming out of her eye sockets in some of these pictures. And I'm not manipulating them.
No,
I'm literally taking a screenshot with my cell phone and that's it. Mm-hmm. So you can see what she's doing in court. And I just keep wondering if she is convicted and if they announce guilty, I literally think she might jump on top of Alan Jackson and just try to strangle him or just, I mean, I really, there's nothing I wouldn't expect of this woman.
It'll be like that, the Taylor Shabusiness case in Wisconsin where she's flipping out and attacking her attorney that we saw last year. I don't know. I mean, I think anything is possible, with any of this. What I'm wondering is, okay, so she's convicted, she goes to jail. What happens here then with the relationships that she's forged along the way? What happens with her and the blogger? Like, does this turn into a romance? Does this turn into, like, pen pals? Does this turn into, you know, let's have a special visit? I don't know, because there's not going to be a lot of options, although people will probably still want to write her. But it's, yeah, I don't know that she's going to handle that well. And by her own words, she said she's not going to handle that well. And who would? I mean, you're fighting for your life here. I get that aspect of it. But the more we look at this, it's like you're doing this at the cost of all these other people because you've introduced this story that is so fantastical and just literally impossible to take place of 50 plus people all conspiring against you. If you think 50 plus people are conspiring against you specifically, and you're no one special, the only person who thinks they're that special is that person.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you know, the only time in the ID discovery, the only time she got emotional and sad was talking about what is she going to do if she has to say goodbye to all of this, her attorneys fawning over her, her fans, all of this. That's when she got emotional. What happens when she's going to have to say goodbye or if she has to say goodbye to this? And, you know, Tony, one point I wanted to bring up is I don't understand how all these attorneys are even doing this. Where's their caseload? How are they paying the mortgage if they're supposedly not getting paid, which is what they have said? Who puts their life on hold for 2 months and doesn't get paid for any of their work? None of this makes sense.
I mean, I'm going to guess they got some money in the bank to just kind of float for a little bit would be my guess. And they're going to take the publicity out of this and say that that's worth a hell of a lot more than anything Karen Reed is going to pay them. I'm going to guess that's probably where that is at. I still want to know where the hell the money's going. Now, I mean, I believe I could be off on this, but I had seen some of the fundraising. I think they're close to like $1 million that has been raised for the defense fund. And I say that in air quotes of Karen Reed, who says, "I'm not paying anyone." So where is this all going? Is she taking care of the lodging for the attorneys and the meals? Because again, still not going to add up to $1 million.
Well, I tell you that the piece that does kind of give me a little bit of a smile here is the fact that the irony that ARCA is probably taking $250,000 or more of all that money.
True.
And the irony of the whole thing, because I think they're so disreputable. I've said this from the beginning. They did not consider, I'm just talking about facts. Mm-hmm. They did not consider all of the inculpatory information and just are going with X's and O's of he's there and this is the speed. And how many times have we seen in how many cases, you know, that exactly what happens, maybe you can't make it say X's and O mm-hmm. on a chalkboard, but it's what happens. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, especially with car wrecks, I've seen the most unbelievable things happen mm-hmm. Where people live, where people shouldn't have been dislodged from the car. And yet everybody can't believe she could clip him and that he could fall back and hit his head, which is the logical thing that makes sense. So ARCA, I think if they really did that report and everything, they're probably getting paid. They got paid over $20,000 just to come down for a day and testify.
Yeah.
This is hundreds of thousands potentially. Remember, the FBI, DOJ paid for the first report, but now they want another.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.